Thank you. scripture reading for this morning is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning with verse 13, and it continues this series of readings that we have had this week that all deal in one way or another with the theme of faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Here ends our reading for this morning. Would you please bow your head with me? Oh, gracious Father, we pray that you will keep your promise to attend your word this morning and make it powerful by your Spirit to work in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Our scripture lesson here this morning opens with three words that really describe the destiny of all people, and of course we're people, so that includes us. But those three words are these all died. That's the beginning of our lesson. These all died. And the rest of the lesson just modifies those words. These all died. These all died in faith, it says. That's how our text opens. Now, who are these who all died in faith? Well, they are some individuals that we read about in the Old Testament. And they are mentioned just before this verse 13 of our lesson in chapter 11. They're mentioned five individuals. And here's their names. Abel is one, Enoch another, Noah another, and then Abraham and Sarah. Those are who they are. And one of whom is probably not spoken of in this passage because he didn't die. And that was Enoch. God took him, it says. But the others did all die in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. What does that mean? They died, not having received the promises. Well, God made promises to all of these individuals, and let's just take Abraham for an example. God made some promises to Abraham. For example, he said that Abraham would be the father of a great nation, that his descendants would be as the stars of the sky for number. And yet, when Abraham died, he had one son, maybe a grandson, can't remember, but if his grandson was born while Abraham was alive or not. But never saw the great nation, that's for sure, right? Never saw the fulfillment of that promise. He never saw the nation of Israel. But he believed the promise. He just didn't live to see it. But more than that, there was another promise made to Abraham that Abraham never lived to see, and that was that one of his descendants would actually turn out to be his Savior. He never saw that one too. Never saw it fulfilled, that is. Can you just imagine Abraham getting up in years, and he lived to be 175. That's a long time. As he's getting old, don't you? You think he might have said to the Lord, "Lord, don't you think you ought to hurry? If you're going to answer this promise that you've made to me, I'm getting old." But he never saw it. Yet, our scripture lesson says he died believing it nonetheless. Even though he didn't see the fulfillment, he died believing that it was coming. And that is our first point from this lesson, is that even though they didn't see the fulfillment, yet they trusted. Boy, is there application of that for you and me, right? God says he answers prayers. And yet oftentimes we don't see the answers. Oftentimes we don't see the answer in our lifetime. Sometimes we never see, just see it because God has answered in a way that we didn't expect. And because we weren't expecting that particular answer, we just miss it. It goes right past us. And yet, Abraham trusted God. What a lesson to learn from him, right? Even though we don't see the promise fulfilled, continue to trust. There's another lesson I think we can learn from this passage, and that is this. That there is an effect. There's a consequence of trusting God's promises that begins to happen in our lives. And it happened to these guys. And listen, and also Sarah. Sarah was one of the, I said guys, I should not be so sexist in my interpretation, right? Because Sarah is one of these people that's mentioned here. But that was generic, guys. It means men and women both. And anyway, so we should make that application, though. And when we do, we're going to find something happening to us that happened to them. Listen to this. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. There's a wistfulness about that, isn't there? Sort of, yeah, they just didn't fit in. They didn't feel like this earth was fully theirs anymore. It wasn't the focus of their lives. There's a detachment that occurs when we begin to focus on the promises that God has made. A detachment from the things of this world doesn't mean we don't use the things of this world, but it means that we hold them loosely. God may take them any moment from us. In fact, he may take us at any moment. And that's good reason to hold these things loosely. And that the bulk of God's promises do not concern the things of this world. Concern the things of his world, of the heavenly world. I wonder if while you serve God on this earth in your vocation, how often you consider that your homeland really isn't here at all. Boy, that makes a difference in everything we do, from how nervous we get before we ask a girl out for a date to all kinds of other applications. You know, what if this world is not my home? Why, some of these things aren't going to matter as much as I think they do, right? So these all died in faith, believing that they had a homeland that they could not see. How important that is. And then lastly, there's another reality here. It says, therefore, the very last verse, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I find that to be astounding. Absolutely astounding that God was not ashamed to be their God. Now, it's easy to look at Abraham and think, well, of course God wasn't ashamed to be his God. Look at Abraham. He was obedient to God, right? He packed up his things when God told him to, and he moved to another land, and he did just what God told him to. And then another time, God tells him to go sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah, and he takes Isaac, and he goes, and he's ready to plunge the knife when God stops him. And it's easy to think of Abraham as being so obedient to God. Well, of course, God's not ashamed to have a place for him in heaven. But there's other stories about Abraham. What about the time he gave his wife to another man because he was afraid? His wife was beautiful, and he went into a strange land, and he thought the guy was going to kill him and take away his wife, and so he just gave her to him. What kind of a man does that? Well, a sinful man does that. An imperfect man. A man who is both sinner and saint at the same time. Sometimes he acts more like one and sometimes he acts more like the other, but that's Abraham. That's who he was. And that's why that's so astounding that God is not ashamed to be called his God. Why? How can God accept a man like that into heaven and not be ashamed to be his God? Well, the answer is because of the answer to that promise that he made Abraham. that he would send a Savior through Abraham's descendants. And that Savior would not only be one of Abraham's descendants, he was going to be Abraham's Savior. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. You see, God makes his promises, and he always fulfills them, whether we live to see the fulfillment or not. And he fulfilled that promise. And Jesus, when he walked on this earth, was the fulfillment. And he took Abraham's sin upon himself, and he took the shame. And that's why God is not ashamed to be called Abraham's God. He took it and he paid for all of it on the cross. You know, there's something else the Bible says. It says that God is no respecter of persons. And you know what that means? That means he doesn't love Abraham any more than he loves you. He doesn't respect anybody's person. He doesn't love anybody else more than anybody else. He loves you as much as he did Abraham. The price that Jesus paid takes care of your sin and your shame, just like it did Abraham's. He took it all away. And he simply says to you this morning, believe it. It's his promise to you. Believe it. And the peace of his that passes all understanding will keep your mind and your heart in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Would you bow your head with me again, please? Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, we ask that you would graft into our hearts the love of your name and a firm confidence in your promises. Nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy, keep us in your grace through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.